Let's go to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. So just starting in Luke chapter 4 here. We'll start in verse 14. It says, then the devil ended up all temptation. He departed from him for a season. Jesus returned to the power of the Spirit unto Galilee, and there went out the fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in the synagogues and glorified of all. He came to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up, and the custom was, and he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. There was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, and he opened the book. He found the place where it was written, in verse 18, as Jesus speaking, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, covering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. So that was Jesus' commission there. He's just reading out there that that's what he was sent to do, that the Spirit of the Lord was upon him, and he's been anointed to preach the gospel to everybody, and goes on there to heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captives, and etc., etc. So that was Jesus' commission there, and now today that is exactly our commission from the day that we were filled with the Holy Spirit that transfers to us. That is our job description. And as Leah Linden was saying, he got the Spirit early in his life, and even in our own house meeting up in Perth, I've got there's Linden, who's our son, and Lily McKenzie. They're both born the same year. They're both born in the year 2000, or one October and one December. And they were talking about when they received the Spirit up at a house meeting the other night, and they both received the Spirit when they were, 5 or 6 years old. And I said, well, that was the start of their commission. The day they got the Spirit, I was in my 30s before I got the commission, and I know all of you received it different times, that this is now our commission. To the Spirit of the Lord is upon us, and he's appointed us to preach the gospel, sent to heal the brokenhearted, and to reach, I love that bit, to preach deliverance to the captives. So the captives, of course, just being everybody in the world that just don't know. And we've chatted at lunchtime just about how we've talked to people, how they don't see it, our own relatives don't see it, or our friends don't see it, people we work with don't see it, or wherever we are. But we're just here to give them deliverance. They tend to think we're the ones that are captives, because we come here and they sort of see, well, this is under law or whatever. But we know it's the exact reverse. And you came up today early, where people that have got everything think they've got everything. Cleaning out my mum's place at the moment, but we've got to ask the guy to move it occasionally. The people over the road have got this. I mean, it's good for mum's house because they park it in the driveway, but there's this great big, I don't know, 7 or 8 metre launch that just sort of sits on mum's driveway, and then over the road, then they can't sort of fit all their car. They've even done an extra driveway in the front to put all their big four-wheel drives. So it's like this huge, and I'm thinking, wow, they've got... they think we're captive, but they are captive to, working away, earning all this money, and they're just doing up their house. And I was chatting to the lady over the road yesterday, and she said, oh, the price of my kitchen these days was more than the price of my first house. But it's interesting, that is their whole life. But we are here to preach deliverance to the captives. So that is our commission now, which is... exciting. We go out there. We do get a huge amount of knockbacks. We get a lot more knockbacks than excited people. But that is our commission now, to preach gospel, preach deliverance to the captives, and the other things that are mentioned there. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord, which is today is the day of salvation. Don't worry about tomorrow. Sort of right now is when you need to get on your knees and get filled with the Holy Spirit to save and. And at different times, Pastor Kevin's put me back to the scripture, how you deal with people, and he just said the scripture just says, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So people think they've got a mission, or they've got to help other people. It's not true. It's just a one-on-one with the Lord. What we preach is you have to save. Don't worry about the thing that you're trying to fight for. You have to save yourself from this generation, and then we know at the end it's definitely a a one-on-one with the Lord. It's an individual salvation, but that's our commission. That's not necessarily what I wanted to talk about this afternoon, but what I want to talk about this afternoon is just making sure that we have time to fulfill our commission. But let's go over to where I want to start. Let's go to Luke chapter 10, just over a couple of pages. Luke chapter 10. Just before I start reading here, the heading this afternoon, if you're taking notes, is just compassion. The word compassion, and I've got down here, it's a bit different to just concern or empathy, that true compassion is the ability to be sympathetic, empathetic, as well as having the desire to alleviate another's pain and suffering. So basically, I think Pastor Phil brought it out this afternoon, just to do something about it, not just think about it. Compassion is to actually do something about it. But let's read a parable that we know really well, but we'll read again this afternoon. So Luke 10, we'll start in verse 30. It says, Jesus answering said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. By chance he came down a certain priest that way. When he saw him, he passed on the other side of the road. Likewise a Levite, second person to come past, when he saw the place, came over and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and he saw him and had compassion on him. Went to him, bound him up, his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, set him on his own breast, and took him to an inn to take care of him. And on the morrow, when he was departed, he took two pence, gave it to the host and said, 'Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee.' Now, which of these thinkest that thou was neighbouring him that fell among the thieves?" And they said, "He that showed mercy on him." And Jesus said unto him, "Go thou and do likewise." So this afternoon was just a few thoughts about compassion. Now, where that gets difficult is just our lives are just full of stuff these days. We've talked about it before. We've got mobile phones and computers and all these things that make life supposedly easier, but I know my life certainly, or well, I'm sure in your life too, it's just the exact opposite. That I'm old enough to remember when we used to work, for the younger people in the audience, we used to actually post letters, sort of a piece of paper that you stick in an envelope, put stamps on it, and the postie would take it. And then I remember when fax machines came in, that was a big whoa. You could actually put a document in one end, but all that did was, instead of having 3 weeks to react or something where the person got the letter, you had to react immediately. And then of course computers came in, and that made it even. And now, yeah, texting, you can, sort of this horrible thing that does text messages, which cause no end of trouble, because you text somebody and the person on the other end reads it how they want to read it, and of course you can upset everybody in 3.5 seconds by texting. But what there's done is, and it's like at work, or just for example, when we used to be able to get so many jobs out within a month, now that we've got all these extra bits and pieces, instead of taking 4 weeks to respond, the management say, just to help the customer, we should get the prices out within 3 weeks, and then they have another powwow. Oh, we're losing customers and we've got to do better than the other builder, so now can you get this out in 2 weeks? And regardless of how long it takes, they just come up with all these magic numbers. And then, of course, the best one is when the boss comes in and says, can you get this out before close of business tonight? So we've got all these extra things to help, but pressure is just building up. But why I'm mentioning that is that's just one little example. But in our lives, it just seems to be, even when we retire, I don't want to retire, because I talk to retired people and they seem to be more busy than when they were working. But the thought this afternoon is, we've got this commission that we read, that our job is, as well as living and looking after ourselves, working, is to preach the gospel and to do all these things. But we just have to be wary just of, with the pressures of time, just to have time to have compassion on people, just time. And like we're just reading in this, the parable, we'll just go back to the parable perhaps. So this and not that we're looking for examples in our life exactly the same as this. We're not necessarily going to find a guy on the road, on the side of the road that's been attacked by thieves, but in principle, we'll reread it. But the first, verse 31 says, by chance there came down a certain priest that way when he saw him, passed on the other side. So it's just a great example of where we think or where the world thinks help is going to come from. It doesn't necessarily come from that. Watching a bank advert the other day, just the bank telling everybody how wonderful they were and how they're going to help, and which hasn't been there. Seeing a few funny faces being pulled in the audience, we know that the bank couldn't care less. They'll just screw you and take away your house as soon as they like. But they have all these wonderful adverts, so they don't help you. And then, I mean, the parable uses a priest here. And we also know that's true. A lot of people in this fellowship have... when they first came along, they went back to perhaps to their parish priest to ask, you know, what about this and what about that? And then the priest will just give whatever answer, you know, just back off from the scripture. So where we think help is going to come doesn't necessarily. And even like the police department, there's sort of more and more things where people keep investigating the police department because people have gone to the police, but then they find out there's so much corruption within the police force. So in the world, there isn't a lot of compassion. And just like the priest in this parable, where you think help might come from, in the world, it's not necessarily going to work that way. In verse 32, likewise, the Levite, when he's in that place, came, looked on him and passed on the other side. I was watching Hard Quiz or something the other night, and there was a behavioural psychologist or something, and he was just saying there's all these different things, like in a big crowd, everybody will think someone else is going to deal with the problem, so you just walk away. And like this guy even came around and had a look, but then he passed, he saw the problem, but then he passed on the other side. So it's definitely a inherent human trait just to hands off, don't want to get involved, walk away from the situation. And then if you look the other way or forget about it, then that absolves you from any of the problems. So it's exactly the same, yeah, in the world. That's just how the human mind works. But the thought this afternoon was just to make sure that, we'll read the last bit of the parable, but just to make sure that we, as spirit-filled people, have time, or just pull back and have a think about it, have time to have compassion that Jesus had. But then keep reading, verse 33. A certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came, and when he saw him, had compassion on him. So this guy had compassion. Now, when I read stories, I sort of always just have a video in my head. I don't know if anybody else does, but I sort of see all this stuff as a movie quite clearly, you know, a rocky road with this guy in the ditch and Samaritan and all those things. But then I was thinking more that this guy might have been just as busy as we were. You know, we don't know. He probably had family problems of his own. He might have been on his way to work. But he had compassion on the situation, so he actually put his own needs aside, even to look at this guy, and then went and bound him up, his wounds, pouring oil and wine. So he actually went to a lot of trouble, even to help in the immediate situation, and then set him on his own breast, brought him to an inn to take care of him. So he actually took him somewhere to get help, which, again, was over and above. He could have just wrapped up his bandages and said, "Well, that's as much as I can do. I'm in a hurry to get where I'm going." But this guy just kept going. And then on the morrow, when he departed, he took 2 pence, gave it to the host, and then said, "Take care of him, and whatsoever spendest more when I come, I'll repay thee." So there's just so much giving, and giving. In this parable, this guy looked after the person at the time. He then took him somewhere to be looked after. He then took out of his own money, just his own savings to help the situation. And then he just said, "When I come back, if there's any more, I will still give you more." So it's a real great example of just giving more, what the Lord expects as far as compassion goes, I guess, this Samaritan just gave and gave and gave, and the thought is, this afternoon, yeah, just to make sure that we don't lose sight of the fact that we should have compassion. And it doesn't mean that we all have our own lives, we all have all our own different situations, but there's certainly a reminder this afternoon just to make sure we stop and think. And then it was good, the gifts, the last gift this afternoon, just to make sure we look after each other. So it's not just people out there to have compassion on, we also need to make sure we have compassion on each other within the fellowship. But let's go to another scripture. Let's go back to Matthew 6. Matthew 6. There's a few examples in Matthew, but we'll just grab a couple. Matthew 6. Matthew 6, what am I talking about? That's number. Let's go to Matthew chapter 15. Sorry, I was wondering why I didn't have a. I numbered my scriptures 1 to 10. Matthew chapter 15 is what I'm after. Sorry about that. Matthew 15. And verse 29, we read Matthew 15, verse 29. When I get there. And Jesus departed thence and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee, went up to a mountain and sat down there. Great multitudes came to him, having them, those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet. And he healed them, insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to behold, the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. Then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat, and I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint on the way. So Jesus has been busy here, but he's still having compassion on them, no matter how much under pressure he was. So it says we go through lives that and then at the end of that, he wants to feed them and still look after them. So the reminders in all these, there's about two or three examples all through, or Matthew and elsewhere, that talk about how Jesus had compassion on the people. And just the reminder this afternoon is that as we've got the same commission as Jesus, to also just to take time out to have compassion on people. And it was interesting there, verse 30, it says the multitudes came, those were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others to have things done. But then they saw the miracles and they glorified the God of Israel. So it's our commission, as we heard in Glenys' testimony today, how the guy from next door came in to ask for prayer and she prayed with him and he was healed. So and then the word of that can go out. But we're to do the same thing, that just exactly as what Jesus did there. We preach, we offer healing, we offer everything we can, and it's all so that the God of Israel can be glorified. We know that there's still going to be plenty of mockers and scoffers. That's never going to stop. But the Lord, there's no scripture that says if you get sick of the mockers and scoffers, then stop preaching the gospel or stop praying for people. I mentioned before we've had some fun times down here praying for the boss of the art gallery that we used to go to, and he had much pleasure coming back to say, tell me that my prayers didn't work. Oh, whatever, you know. I prayed for you. If you don't want to believe my God, and then. So it's like the other bit in Romans where it says if nine, everybody gets prayed for, nine guys don't get a healing, but the last guy does, it's still a miracle that God's still there. And but I've had plenty of other praying with people. That remember our landscaper was up in Perth once, or a guy that did some landscaping for us. He was lactose intolerant, and we prayed for him, and then he was just a motor mouth. He just chatted non-stop and would tell you his whole life. It was hilarious one day that Anthony and I were chatting to him at the front door, and he was yakking, just telling us all his life story. And he was an Elvis impersonator as well, which sort of perhaps sums up his persona. But anyway, he was chatting to us. Then he suddenly stopped and he said, and he'd done something, and he said, "You guys prayed for me, didn't you?" And he'd actually got the healing. But it was just weird from telling us his life story and his life as an Elvis impersonator and doing our landscaping, and he used to sort of describe how the trees were going to look in the garden. It was sort of creepy. We perhaps wouldn't have gone with him again, but it was just so funny just to see him stop and acknowledge that the power of God had worked in his life. So you do get the good ones as well as all the knockbacks. Let's go over the page to Matthew chapter 8. What am I talking about? I keep mucking up myself with my numbers here. Matthew chapter 20. Matthew 20. Sorry about that. It's not that I'm dyslexic. I've just got numbers against my scriptures. Matthew 20 and verse 29. So Matthew 20, verse 29 says, "And they departed from Jericho, and a great multitude followed him. Behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed out, cried out, saying, 'Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David.' And the multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace. And they cried the more, saying, 'Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David.' And Jesus stood still, called unto them, and said, 'What will you that I do unto you?' So they said unto him, 'Lord, that our eyes may be opened.' So Jesus again had compassion on them, touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him." So once again, I'm just pulling out a few quick passages. There's heaps more that you can read for yourselves. But just everywhere where Jesus was busy, it just said Jesus had compassion on them. So the thought this afternoon is just to remind ourselves that it's something that... when we get up every morning, we have the helmet of salvation, they call it the cloak of righteousness, helmet of salvation. But don't forget to stick some compassion in your back pocket as well, because there will be times, either in the fellowship or outside the fellowship, where people, we do need to stop and just have a bit of compassion on people. It was even like we were chatting to Cecilia at lunchtime, where she ended up preaching to the lady, the Pentecostal lady, in the outreach. But sometimes we think, give them a miss because they've got their own beliefs. But Cecilia had compassion on her and told her our side of the story. We don't know if that anything went in or went out, but even to that extent, we just find these opportunities to have compassion on people, because people can be there going to a church all their life. I was almost going to stick my hand up this morning, but then it was full of Anglicans anyway, giving their testimony this morning. So I grew up Anglican church, knew absolutely zero about what was in the Bible. Let's go back to Psalm 78. I'll get it right this time. Psalm 78. Psalms are always good. Psalm 78. Psalm 78, and we'll start in verse 31. So Psalm 78, verse 31, it says, "The wrath of God came upon them and slew the fattest of them and smote the chosen men of Israel, for they had all sinned still and believed not on his wondrous works." So the guys here weren't believing God. "Therefore their days did he consume in vanity, and their years are in trouble. When he slew them, they sought him, and they returned and required eagerly after God." So when God started getting tough with them, they did turn back to God. They remembered that God was their rock and the high God their Redeemer. "Nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth. They lied to him with their tongues, for their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant." So they sort of started to come back, these people, just as an example. God got tough with them, they started to come back, but then they said, we'll follow you, etc. But verse 38, "But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath." So it's just one of the final examples here to... our God is full of compassion as well. He was putting up with people who were disobedient to him. They sort of were showing that they were coming back to him, but inside they weren't. And you can imagine how God looks at all that. When we get upset about how people are talking about God, or how people are carrying on in this life, that's just us, how we feel stirred up inside. But you can imagine how God feels. If we feel stirred up, God made all this, God put everything in practice. And when people are just talking against him, certainly he's a God of compassion. Otherwise, this world would have ended a long time ago. That God is holding back the finish of this world. But he was just talking about compassion this afternoon, that not only did Jesus have compassion, our God's just talking about having compassion there too, regardless of how many knockbacks or how much people are against us, or people keep rejecting everything we say, we still continue to have compassion in case one day, and we know there's lots of people in the fellowship that took years to come, and a lot of knockbacks, but then finally people did come, even like you had Pastor David down here last week, and in his testimony he said his wife said had to thump his head for years before he actually came along. Yeah, I was thinking about that life's full of ups and downs, that we had convention, and we had combined meeting, and then last week you had Pastor David, Pastor Kevin, and this morning we had Pastor Phil, and then this afternoon you've got me. Let's finish in Psalm 86. I was talking about a down, and I don't know. Psalm 86, we'll finish here, just a couple of verses. Psalm 86, verse 14. It says, O God, the proud are risen against me. The assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul. They have not set there before them. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. So we just remind ourselves that our God is full of compassion. Jesus was full of compassion. We just talked briefly this afternoon about how our lives are... there's got to be another word for stuff, but I'll use stuff. Our lives are just full of stuff. And that's probably. I mean, I'm trying to think of a better word, but probably in God's eyes, that's all he thinks of it too. It's just stuff. It's got nothing to do with the real truth. So the thought this afternoon was, as we do every meeting, every time we hear Pastor Philip give a talk, it's just a reminder of all the, and then when we hear the gifts, just a reminder of all the things that God expects us to do. We've been given a commission, but just not let this horrible, busy life overtake our desire to keep having compassion. Thanks, Pastor Paul.